my personal preferences all in one podcast this year. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hooters has been the presenting sponsor of this podcast since season two. This is our 10th anniversary season. This is specific to the original Hooters brand in the greater Tampa Bay area / West Central Florida. You can reference their locations, hours of operation, have easy online ordering at originalhooters.com. Originalhooters.com. They pay for the podcast, so you don't have to. And I still remain, speaking of personal preferences, as big on free fantasy content as I ever have been. And things that I reference here use free fantasy content. I often reference a website called fantasyfootballcalculator.com. They have some paid options. I don't pay for them. I hope they appreciate the publicity I give them for what I think is a very useful free tool that you can modify for settings that work for your league in prepping you for your draft. That's at fantasyfootballcalculator.com with updated ADP based on thousands of mock drafts of people you don't know. And it just gives you a public opinion on what's going on with where people are selecting players, and then you do what you want to do. My email remains right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. I have always answered any of your fantasy questions there. I made a point last week on the Todd Wright Toddcast of thanking listeners to that podcast, which I'm sure also covers many of you, because in the last 10 years now, I've done well over 1,000 podcasts, and I've given that email on virtually every podcast as a way to ask me a question. Yet, there are people out there who claim they are longtime fans of mine who make no effort to listen to my free podcasts available on demand with that contact to ask any question they want. So they expect others and me to jump through hoops to take care of them. No. No. After 10 years and over 1,000 podcasts, if you're really a loyal listener, then you've made the effort to listen to free content on demand with a direct line to me to email whenever you want. And if that's not good enough for you, then you're not really a loyal listener. You may have used to be, but times change. So we'll leave it at that. Thank you for those who continue to listen. Some fantasy drafts were over the weekend. I actually have one. I'm helping out some friends who needed an owner to fill a fun league. And it's a group of guys that I know and respect, so I'm going to help them out. It's going to give me some ADP ideas as fact-finding for some other leagues that I run later in the week, which leads to this podcast and the fact that I waited this long to do this, and I'm going to pack it all into one. How I run my leagues, why I run them that way, why I do things the way I do. In the past, here on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, I have probably spent too much time on this. So it's all in one podcast. If you already know how I do things, you get it, then this podcast isn't for you. There's no updated information on particular players. There's no new opinions. I'm not critiquing any recent mock drafts. I'm not probably helping you with your draft. I'm just talking personal crap here and why I do it the way I do. If you want a refresher, you're going to get it. But this is why. And Norm Hitzkiss, longtime talk show host out of Dallas that I dearly loved listening to, and I had the privilege of talking to Norm. The last time I really went big covering a Super Bowl, it was Super Bowl 44. I was doing Todd Wright Tonight, the sequel to All Night with Todd Wright. And my boss, a great guy named Craig Larson at Sporting News Radio, who still has photos from me doing this. It was a late night show. It wasn't an all night show. My hours were better for my lifestyle. We were going, I think, from 10 p to 2a. Something like that for most of Todd Wright Tonight, which was a significant lifestyle improvement from what I did for ESPN. So when Craig said, hey, the Super Bowl's in Miami, South Florida, because it was a very Broward County-based Super Bowl, not a Miami-hosted Super Bowl. Love to have you come down, since you can drive there. You'll have a credential to the game. I actually also had two tickets to the game, not through work, to take friends to the game. And he said, but I have to change one thing, and it'll be best for me, the network, and you. What's that? He said, you're going to do morning drive that week. Now, the interesting part was Todd Wright Tonight was re-airing as a morning drive show, Todd Wright Today, in some markets at the time. Well, we went live with it. So for the only time in my life, I did 1 week. I actually forgot. I've always said I've never done morning drive. I did 5 shows, live morning drive radio from Super Bowl 44 in what you know as Radio Row. And my boss, Craig, sold it to me saying, if you do this, I can get you a lot of good guests. Many of them will be sitting right across from you. And he was right. And one of them was Norm. I love Norm Hitzkiss. Always have loved Norm Hitzkiss. For the years that I had season tickets to the Cowboys and in later years where I couldn't afford the season tickets, once the team moved from Texas Stadium to Jerry World, it was still necessary listening for me to listen to the Norm postgame show on the ticket as I drove out of Texas Stadium or left Jerry World. So Norm often, somewhere in his universe of shows, would talk about, in relation to the Cowboys, find five, as in find five things that you took out of a particular game or a particular thing involving the Cowboys. And I'm sure he did this for other things. Here are my five things in the spirit of how Norm Hitzkiss did things very effectively. Here are the five things that are important to me annually with fantasy football in how I run my leagues. Number one, we draft in person. Now, for those of you who roll your eyes and say, oh, this is a shit show and it's going to take forever, yeah, then you don't have the right person running your league. Ask anyone who has been involved or witnessed any of my drafts over the last decade how these go. Maximum 90 plus minutes. We do 13 rounds. With a break. And every year they seem to get shorter because players are ready. They like it. It's better. They know this is a team effort. If everyone does their part, it goes so good. Also, I play fantasy football for the social element as well. These are people I like that I want to see. And you know what? Sometimes, not all. Some of these people, I may only see them once a year, and it's because I mandate an in-person draft. You get together, you have actual FaceTime, not the virtual shit. There's a reason you play with these people. So get the most out of it. It's appreciating life. So I'm really looking forward to, in my leagues, seeing the people who play in these leagues. Some I do see on a regular basis. Some I don't. In person. And it's interesting because I get into a spot every year where someone floats the, yeah, I can't make it. So if you, yeah, they already know the answer. No, I'm not doing it online. You're not doing it virtually. You're in the room for the selection meeting or you're not. Either make the commitment to the league. If you have other things to do, I understand, as long as you give me a heads up. I've gone through this long enough where there might be some people still listening to this podcast who bailed last minute. I don't care what the reason is. If you bail last minute, you're probably not ever going to play again. Because you weren't committed. Sure, there are some exceptions, but I've had some really bad excuses. And those people never played again. So in person, it's more fun that way. And I know how to get it done in roughly 90 minutes. That's number one. Number two, no PPR. For the series of round-by-round previews I did last week, I gave you the hedge. I'll acknowledge the hedge. I don't play the hedge in my leagues. But I do like that a number of leagues in recent years have gone to half-point PPR. It's basically their leagues admitting, yep, I was right all along. PPR was created in the 20th century to balance fantasy football by position. Because in the 20th century, the game was dominated by running backs. While Saquon Barkley had a phenomenal year last year, just as one example, he touched the ball 100 less times than James Wilder did in setting the NFL record 40 years ago. And I'm giving you a James Wilder reference because in the 20th century, when people started playing fantasy football, sometimes it was as easy as you either had Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders, or you didn't win the league. It was that simple. PPR was created to balance run and pass points. The NFL has evolved. As a matter of fact, at some point we may get to where running backs need an extra half point somehow. Not per carry, no. But running backs may need a boost in points to balance out the passing game. We're not there yet. But that's going to make more sense than people playing full point PPR now. It's outdated fantasy football. So there is, and will continue to be, no PPR in my league. Every year within the first couple weeks of the season, there's a glaring example of why PPR is fraudulent. A few years ago, there was an Eagles wide receiver who had 6 grabs for about 31 yards in a game. So that receiver in full point PPR leagues, I think it was 38 yards, as a matter of fact. That receiver, no, maybe it was 31. All right, I'll split the difference with you. Let's say it was 35, okay? So in full point PPR leagues, if someone played that Eagles wide receiver, and he wasn't an obvious, we're not talking AJ, this is before AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, this is before any of those guys. He was worth 9.5 points. Why? What did he do to help his team? I even went through each of his receptions, and maybe one or two of them even achieved a first down. So I think his team lost. So why should a player who does that little to help his team be rewarding your fantasy team by nearly double-digit points for a 6-catch, 35-yard, no-touchdown game? No. We'll have that example. I'll try to find one week one and do a podcast on it and say, here's your PPR example. I'll come up with some ridiculously fun name for it. That's why we don't. You don't need to play full point PPR anymore. I accept the hedge. Half point PPR is more than acceptable. I play standard scoring with tweaks, but standard scoring. When your player gets in the end zone, you score. When your player gains yardage, you score. Pretty simple. I'm not going to reward a receiver for catching the ball, much as I don't reward a quarterback for throwing it or simply tucking it under and running it, or a running back for simply getting handed it. It's what they do with it. So in my world, that Eagle wide receiver who didn't help his team win, who may have helped them achieve one or two first downs, in PPR leagues where he scored 9.5 points, in my leagues he scored 3.5 points. No DST. How can I say this very simply? Are you really, if you're sitting around a television or in a sports bar, and you're rooting every play for your defense to get a sack, recover a fumble, get a pick six, or return a punt or kick return for a touchdown, I don't want to be around you. That's lame. Root for your guys. Root for your offensive guys. That makes sense. Jeez, rooting for a defense, rooting for a kick return, a punt return. No, that's a bridge too far. So I eliminated DST a long time ago. No one misses it. if you don't understand, well, how do you play football without DST? Just eliminate it. It's in your settings when you set up the league. You won't miss it. Pick some. It's a chore more than anything else. And it will not change who your true champion of the league is. I get that in football, the game on the field is played relative to defense, but in the fantasy world, no. You're just picking the best offensive players. I get that Travis Hunter this year may be a starting wide receiver, and so when he's out there, if in fact he is returning kicks and punts, you're going to pay attention. That's fine. That's fine. I used to do that with Tyreek Hill. That's fine. That's a handful of plays a game. It's not connected to every defensive play. So no DST in my leagues. Here we go. There is no mandatory tight end starter. Anyone can freely play an entire year in a Todd Wright league. Never draft. Never claim. Never trade for a tight end. And it doesn't matter. There are a handful. Okay, the number changes annually, but handful, I think, is a fair term. There are a handful of tight ends every year who put up wide receiver one, wide receiver two type production, which is why in your settings, you can eliminate a mandatory tight end starter and instead click the box for W/T. It is a flex position that allows you to play either a wide receiver at that spot or a tight end. So in my leagues, everyone starts three pass catchers. Two are wide receivers. The third is up to you. In the past handful of years, if you feel Travis Kelce is going to help you win in fantasy, you want to invest the draft capital and you want to play him every week, you've got a spot to play him. But if you want to avoid that every week, oh, I got to find a tight end to plug and play. Hey, Todd, what do you think of this random name, this loser who has three catches on the year, this guy who occasionally gets in jumbo formations? I need a tight end for this week. Yeah. Kiss my ass. If you played in one of my leagues, you wouldn't have to waste your fucking time worrying about it. You could just play your third wide receiver and get on with your life. So this year, as we've already talked about, based on last year, Brock Bowers put up wide receiver one numbers. So I get that Brock Bowers has value. I am even interested in Brock Bowers. I have a spot to play him if I feel he is worth the draft capital. But I'm playing him only because he puts up wide receiver one / wide receiver two numbers. I don't have to play him because of the position he plays. Some of you, small percentage, have come around to that over the years, and you email me and you tell me. For those of you who actually like to go through that, also, here's what it takes out. If you're in a mandatory tight end league, like a few years ago, 5 years, whatever it was, and you You have that person that wants to break the bank for Gronk or Kelsey because there's such a drop-off after them, and then there's the drop-off again. That prevents that in my drafts. It puts the tight ends on the same scoring plane as the wide receivers because that's what they're doing on the field. We're doing the same thing here, which leads me to the last one, which is in my leagues, you can't flex a running back. This accomplishes a couple of things. First of all, it leaves that wide receiver tight end, that W/T, as the only flex. It's for a pass catcher. But you can't put a running back there. Well, why not? Because how often do we see any NFL team line up with three running backs? It's kind of like I want us to play real football here, and it works. Also, this is very important. I keep most of my leagues at 10 or 12 teams. 14 is just so hard. 8 is a little light, but teams are stacked. I get that. 10 or 12 to me, they're good numbers. They're really good numbers. I don't have fault with 10 or 12. And when you're at 10 or 12, and you're only going to start two running backs, no matter what everybody does, and I get that there are owners who load up in the draft on running backs, because if I'm going to give you one trend, and I may talk about this in the next podcast, one trend, I hear about this taking three wide receivers in the first four rounds. That seems to be a trend in the 2025 fantasy draft world. Getting three pass catchers, okay? We even put the Brock Bowers there. Three pass catchers to play in the first four rounds. So I promise you, those doing that are just going click, 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 click. Best running back available for how many rounds later? They're loading up because they're playing the, yeah, start this guy this week, start this guy this week. They're just going to play a hot hand and see how things play out. But no matter what, if you're in a 10 or 12 team league and you can only play two running backs, not a third, anywhere, there's no RB3 starting position. There's no way to flex a running back. You start two running backs and two running backs only. That's it. There's always going to be running backs on the waiver wire. Yeah, they're always going to be there. Maybe not a great selection, but you're going to be better off than leagues that flex running backs. I know because I've done it for years. So there's my five, Norm. In-person draft. It might be the only time all year you see these people. Enjoy it. And if you can't, I've issued this for years. If you run a league in the greater Tampa Bay area, and the only reason you don't draft in person is because it takes too long, send me an email. Make it worth my while. I'll come out and run your damn draft. You'll be done in about 90 minutes. I know how to do it. Want me to show you? In-person draft, no PPR, no DST, no mandatory tight end, no flexing of running backs. There's your fine five. Emails write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. As I often say at this point, sorry for the length of this podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.